You're there at Acts chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. We'll read together on verse 1. You read with me every other verse down through verse 9. Everyone now. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. Tonight I want to bring a very simple message. I warned you this morning that it's probably going to be too simple for some folks. But it's simply entitled, Reputations. Reputations. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And so, Heavenly Father, I would ask you tonight in Jesus' name that you would give us understanding, clear understanding, Lord, that we might see the personal application that is meant in this message. Be with those who cannot be with us tonight. Bless them who are away, those who are not well. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And of course, you may be seated. I said this morning, everyone has a reputation. Everyone does. It's either good or bad, but everyone has a reputation. And here's a very simple statement for you. A reputation is a reputation. You've heard the term ill repute. The root of that is reputation. When someone's in ill repute, that means they have a bad reputation. Their reputation is ill. It's sick. It's not what it ought to be. And so reputations stick with us, especially when we're young. Many times people will carry a reputation with them for a good part of their life, even though their life changes and the Lord makes a big change in their lives. I think about how the Bible labels Rahab the harlot. She was a believer at that time. They called her Rahab the harlot. I guess her harlotry stayed with her as far as her reputation goes. You name off names like David. Often we'll think of David and Goliath, but more often than not, we think of David and Bathsheba. We understand that these reputations, the name Thomas, when you mention the name Thomas, what do we think of? Thomas was a doubter. When we mention the name Judas, of course, he was an unbeliever. But Judas was a keeper of the money. He was the one who carried the bag of money with wherever they went. But he's also the one who betrayed the Lord. So when I think about that, I think about when we have a good testimony, that's a wonderful thing. But then there are those who carry with them a bad testimony. I have shared with you before about a young male that was in high school with me. And every word that came out of his mouth was something filthy. And I don't necessarily mean cursing. I mean something dirty. They say somebody's got a dirty mind. He had a dirty mouth. And it was like nobody could make a move in a classroom. A girl couldn't walk by. A guy couldn't make a statement without him coming back with some kind of a dirty innuendo of some kind. I'll never forget him as long as I live. There are some who have a reputation of being an encourager. And you know, an encourager is somebody who encourages people. and helps them to have purpose and to not give up. That's the purpose of encouraging someone, is so that they don't quit in the middle of. To have courage means to have purpose. And many people who are discouraged are ones who have walked away from or have lost or feel that they no longer have a purpose in this life. And an encourager is one that encourages them to keep going and not quit and do what they can. And then we have those who have a reputation of knowing what words to say. The Bible calls them words fitly spoken. And has anyone ever said to you, you always have the right thing to say, or you always have a good thing to say, or I never hear anything come out of your mouth that is discouraging in any way. Words that are well spoken, you say, are fitly spoken. Or someone might have a sweet spirit about them. You know, sometimes it's those who go through the most difficult trials have the sweetest spirit. And that's the way that it's supposed to be, by the way, sweeter as the days go by. But not everybody who has a trial or a difficulty comes out sweet on the other end. The truth is, some people just come out plain mean. Some people came out nasty with their attitudes and things like that. And you don't want to be around them. But then there are those who have a sweet spirit. When we were in college together, we used to sing a song with Dr. Evans. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I remember hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people in college singing to the best that they could. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. And there are some people that you know that just have a sweet spirit. That is their reputation. You know that when they walk into a room, they're not going to discourage you in any way. They have a sweet spirit. So what we understand is that everyone has a reputation. Paul and Silas had a good reputation. Let me read something for you here in Acts chapter 17, where we were, and verse 6. The Bible says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Talk about a reputation. Their fame had already spread. They knew that these folks had done an incredible work for the Lord. These who have turned the world upside down are here now. What a reputation they had. In other words, their reputation preceded them. Something that they had done in their life for the Lord, it preceded them. When someone looks at you and says, oh, I've heard about you, you're hoping it's something good. And often when someone will say to me, oh, I've heard of you before, and I say, well, I hope it was something good. And then they usually come back and say, oh, yeah, it was something good. Do you remember me telling you the story when I was visiting a family up in Woodland Park? I pulled into the driveway, and there were two older ladies standing there in the driveway. And I was there. They had a fellowship at their house. I remember that. And I was there, and I rolled down my window, and like I do, I said, like, howdy, howdy, how are you? And we talked for a moment, and they asked who I was, and I said, I'm Dan Parton, pastor over at the Timberline Baptist Church. They then looked at each other, both of them looked back at me and said, oh, we've heard about you. I thought, oh, what did you hear about me? I never did find out what they heard about me. And at that point, I didn't care to find out what they heard about me. But apparently, it was not something very good. Maybe somebody was critical or whatever it might have been. But with them, I did not have a good reputation, probably because I had never met them. I don't know who they were. I don't know where they were from. So someone else had said to them something negative about me. That does happen from time to time. And it's probably happened to you as well. Best thing you can do is let like water off a duck's back, is just let it roll off your back and go on and don't worry about what people say like that. So in order to have a good reputation, I told you this morning I'm going to have three simple points. And if you'll listen tonight, you'll understand how they're congruent and they go together and they go together well. Three very simple points. Too simple for this congregation here because you're far more advanced in a Christian life than what I'm going to give you tonight. But you know, sometimes it's the simple stuff that we need to hear. So how can you have and maintain a good reputation? Well, the first one is probably not necessary for this crowd, but I'm going to say it anyway, because there might be somebody listening online. And if they are listening online, then they need what I'm going to say. Number one, accept Jesus as your Savior. You got to have a good foundation and a wonderful place to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You know the verse by heart, don't you? You've heard it so many times. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so in order to have a good reputation, you've got to be made new. Every one of us are born with a sinful nature. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by practice. We're sinners by choice. And that's the way it is. But Jesus can make all things new. Say, how do you know that we're all sinners by birth and by choice and by practice? Like the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And like the Word of God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's our problem. Those things need to change. Who can change those things? It's Christ in us, who's the hope of glory. We all deserve hell and not heaven. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. Something's got to change that. And the only thing that can change that is the Lord Jesus himself. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Bible makes that very clear. So if you're going to have a good reputation, you've got to change where you're going to spend eternity. And that happens at salvation. And see, Jesus paid our sin debt for us. You see, I listened to a song just this week about how I owed a debt that I could not pay and Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. Hadn't heard the song in a long, long time, but it was mentioned twice and I listened to it. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for us. He makes all the difference in the world. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. So the way that you start a good reputation is to have Jesus make the changes in your life. And by the way, accepting Jesus' payment lets us go to heaven. It changes our eternity. Like Romans 10 verses 9 through 13, listen very carefully, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, or for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's got to start on the inside. Having a good testimony doesn't come. Having a good reputation doesn't come by simply turning over a new leaf. Jesus needs to make the changes in our lives, and that happens by receiving him as Savior. And at the moment you receive Jesus as your Savior, he begins to make the necessary changes in your life. Let me ask you a question. Are you submissive still to the Lord Jesus making the necessary changes in your life to make you more like Christ and less like the world? That's simply called a progressive sanctification, where we become less like the world around us and more like the Jesus who saved us. So how can you have a good reputation? You got to let Jesus make the changes. In other words, to where you have a testimony and not a testiphony. Don't need a testiphony, need a testimony. So first of all, accept Jesus as your Savior. Secondly, oh, this is so good. Accept Jesus as your friend. As my friend? The Bible says in John 15, verses 13, 14, and 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. The next word is what? If. In other words, friendship is conditional. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. We need to accept him as our friend and be a friend to the Lord Jesus. We even have a song, and I believe in our songbook, called Friendship with Jesus. And it's such a good little song. It honestly is. A true friend only wants what is truly best for you. Think about that. A true friend only wants what is truly best for you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That happens with friendship with the Lord Jesus. Not just as our Savior. That's where you start. But then you have to grow in the Lord. Jesus doesn't want to make us unhappy. John chapter 10 and verse 10. By the way, we've all met Christians who are grumblers, and they're the sad, sorry sack face type of an individual, never have any joy of the Lord. Everything is a burden, everything's heavy, and there's nothing that makes you happy. But listen to what the Bible says in John 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The word abundant in the Bible is talking about being filled full, and having something more abundantly simply draws a picture of things overflowing in our lives. And that overflow, by the way, is to hit other people. And that is a good reputation. When the people see the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, that joy that he puts in us helps us to have a reputation that is one of a being. It doesn't mean you don't carry burdens, and it doesn't mean you don't have sad times. It doesn't mean any of that at all. That's part of our humanity. But we're talking about people that have the joy of the Lord. And after you accept Jesus as your friend, it's going to be easier to follow his steps and to follow in his steps, no matter what it is that he wants you to do. Listen to these words that Peter wrote as the Spirit of God gave him inspiration. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that's right, we're to walk in the very steps of the Lord Jesus, stepping in the light. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So here we're talking about being Jesus' friend. You know, a friend, the Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We all know that's Jesus. We understand that now. But in the Bible, it wasn't talking about Jesus to begin with. Is taught that the original context of that delightful and beautiful verse is that there is somebody that sticks closer than a brother. And that's very true. That's why the Bible says that a neighbor near that takes care of you is better than a brother far off. And so we have someone who sticks by us. And to be Jesus' friend, how do you become his friend? The Bible says, Jesus said in his own words, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I tell you. That makes it very simple, doesn't it? I guess that means if we're disobedient, we're not much of a friend to the Lord Jesus. So first of all, accept Jesus as your Savior. Salvation begins it all. Salvation is what changes your life. Salvation is what changes you. Then accepting him as a friend, realizing that he only wants what's best for you, and he doesn't want anything that's not best for you, including his will, whatever that will of God may be in your life. But then there's a third point. I said I was going to give you three simple points. First of all, accept Jesus as your Savior. Secondly, accept Jesus as your friend. And thirdly, accept Jesus as your Lord. You see, that is a different decision than salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, if you have your Bible there, I want to read verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Something interesting here, there are those who say you must accept Jesus as your Lord in order to be saved. But yet the Word of God tells us that no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost, which means you have to have him abiding in you in order to make him Lord. And there are some who go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and they will read those verses, and then they will say, for example, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, they say that means you must confess with your mouth that he is Lord. Let me tell you something about the word Lord. Jesus is Lord whether we make him Lord or not. That's his title. That's what he is. He is the Lord. But there comes a time in every Christian's life when he must make the decision that Jesus is going to be Lord in his life. That means to make him your boss. I believe it was in the Four Spiritual Laws, the tract that was written years ago. It said to the in Romans 10:9 that in order to be saved, you must make Jesus your boss. Well, I got to be honest with you, folks listening to my voice right now online, maybe even people in this auditorium tonight, Jesus is not the boss of your life. He is your Savior, but he's not the boss. Why? Because there are many areas and strongholds that maybe you've held on to that you don't want Jesus making a difference in those areas. Trusting Jesus as your Savior takes you to heaven. Trusting Jesus as your boss doesn't take you to heaven. It makes him Lord. Listen very carefully. You see, this is the difference between a good and a bad reputation, making Jesus Lord. And because many believers today, oh, sure, they have Jesus living in them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, they have trusted Christ as their Savior. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're on their way to heaven. They trusted Jesus. They called upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. And they are saved, people. But yet there are verses in the Bible that tell us that we got to make another decision. He has to be made Lord in our lives, not in order to go to heaven. No one with a bad reputation turns the world upside down. Okay? Understand that. So listen to this. You got to make him Lord of your life, and he has been given a blank check for you. That's what it means. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And by the way, hear me. Don't miss this. Romans 12, 1 and 2 was written to Christians, believers, born again, on their way to heaven, saved, called on the name of the Lord, trusted Jesus as their Savior. If Jesus wasn't Lord, then why was Romans 12, 1 and 2 written? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on to say, but don't be conformed to this world. I guess there was a problem of new believers still being conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So writing to believers, he said, yes, you make him the Lord of your life. You do that. And he wrote it to believers. Romans 12, 1 and 2 had nothing to do with getting saved. It had everything to do with being saved and making Jesus the boss. So Lord of your life. Secondly, the Lord of your love. In other words, your affections need to stay straight. You know the verses. Again, like I said, tonight's message is so simple. I hope nobody will make a judgment upon me for its simplicity. But 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For, he gives you the reason, for all that is in the world, he names them off, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Bible tells us that we need to set our affections on things above. Make him Lord of your life, but also make him Lord of your love. And thirdly, make him love of your labor. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? You know the verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, talking to believers, something that they needed to do now that they were saved. Something they needed to have accomplished in their life because they know the Lord. He simply said, "Whether in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." See, these verses not only give us an admonition, but it also reveals a need within that church in Corinth. He said, okay, now you need to set your affections on things above. And he says, whatever you drink, whether you eat, or whatever you do it all to the glory of God. Because sometimes Christians don't do what they do to the glory of God. God is not glorified at all. You cannot get saved by making Jesus the Lord of your life. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:3. It's a proof text, if you want to call it that. It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that interesting? No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So therefore, you have to have him living in you to make him Lord of your life. Making him Lord of your life does not, you call upon him to be saved, not to be the Lord of your life. And then you do what Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. And by the way, this is how salvation works. Salvation works by accepting Christ first, and then surrendering your life step by step throughout your entire Christian experience, accepting those different things and surrendering those areas to the Lord that need to be surrendered, making him Lord of your love, Lord of your labor, and Lord of your life. So Paul and Silas had quite a reputation. We read about what they did. We read about how they turned the world upside down. They came to a town. And of course, they said, those that turn the world upside down have come hither also. They had really had a reputation, as did the other apostles and the other disciples. And some of the disciples had bad reputations. I mentioned the names a minute ago, but think about Thomas. He's known as the doubter. And if you want to have a good reputation, you need to have those three steps. Number one, accept Jesus as your Savior. Number two, accept Jesus as your friend. And thirdly, accept Jesus as your Lord. I want the best reputation that I can have. And I believe I'm speaking to people that want exactly the same thing. I know that's what you want as well. I know this is also your desire, and everyone has a reputation. It's either good or bad, but everyone has a reputation. A reputation is a reputation, and reputations stick with us. So I think we need to ask ourselves tonight, have we, number one, accepted Jesus as our Savior? Secondly, have we accepted Jesus as our friend by deciding to be obedient to him? And thirdly, have we accepted Jesus as our Lord by surrendering our lives to him? My testimony is one, I got saved at 8. I was out of church for a number of years. I finally went back to the church at age 15. But it wasn't until 17 that I surrendered my life to his will. And that was when, in that meeting with Dr. Tom Wallace, I wrote out, spiritually speaking, a blank check and asked God to fill it in. I signed it, spiritually speaking, and I said, Lord, whatever you want for me, that's what I want. And that's what it means to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Have I kept that promise? Not at all, like I wish I would have. But I've never gone back on it either. I've never taken it back and said, nope, I shouldn't have done that. I've kept my promise in that way. So what about you? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your friend? And are you his friend? And is he the Lord of your life? And that's the simplicity of my message tonight. Please don't judge me on how simple it was. I know you won't, but I don't want to be judged on simplicity. My pastor taught me a long time ago that things that are profound are often found in things that are very simple. Profundity lives in simplicity. So let's keep those things in mind tonight, and let's have a closing word of prayer.